23rd of November, Rob Kislev, Rabbi David Tukentaft, where Sheker is MS, Halachic Parameters of Lying.
Hey, good morning everybody. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was Nifta in 1986, and he died at the age of 95. And when people asked him, what was the zechus you had, how was it that you were able to live such a long life? Was there any specific thing that you did which you feel gave you this special arichus yomim? He said, I never ever said sheker. Not once in my life did I say anything that was sheker. And this was, it was to this that he attributed his long life. It's clear though that there are times when it is acceptable to say sheker. There are many, many incidents, as we'll see throughout the Chumash, throughout Chazal, when it is appropriate to say sheker. I'll tell you a story I heard of Rafal David Orbach, who was the father of Rav Shlomo Zalman, and he was Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Shar HaShamayim. He died in 1945. So he, though he lived in Yerushalayim, he used to go on fundraising expeditions to Eastern Europe. And there's a story is recounted concerning his trip back from one of these fundraising trips. And the following thing happened. He was standing on the deck of the boat and he was looking out over the sea, and there came behind him a huge thug with a big kosh in his hands, and he raised his hand to try and strike Rafal David Orbach from behind, and suddenly he was immobilized and he couldn't move, and he started screaming, stop, you've got to release me, let me go. And Rav Orbach was just looking out over the sea completely calmly and coolly, and this would-be attacker was screaming, release me, release me. And everybody was noticing, everybody started to look. So Rav Orbach said, do you make a vow never to harm any Jews ever again? He says, yes, yes, I promise I'll never hurt any Jews ever again. Just let me go, let me go. So Rav Orbach said, you are released. So he went, and suddenly he was able to move again and he ran off. Towards the end of the trip, one of Rav Orbach's followers was on the trip. He couldn't get over this. He said, Rebbe, you have to explain exactly what happened over there. So he looked around. He saw nobody was watching. He said, I'll tell you the MS. What happened? I have a lot of money on me because I've been raising all of these funds in Europe for the Yishuv. I paid this thug a few coins. He should pretend to attack me. Everybody should see that he's trying to attack me, and that everybody should be wowed by my incredible supernatural abilities to be able to stop him. Everybody will see this, and then nobody will mess with me for the rest of the duration of the trip, and I'll be absolutely safe, and the funds for the yeshiva will be secure. So Chacham Odif Minovi, this was what he did in order to make sure that nobody would attack him. He hired this thug to be an actor. So it's clear, of course, even though Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said he never ever lied, it's clear that there are occasions where it is mutter to lie, it's permitted to lie. We'll see there are sometimes a person can lie, and there are sometimes when a person has to lie. So Be'ez Hashem, we'll try and discuss the parameters. Let's have a look at what Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky himself says concerning the parashas which we find ourselves in a Sefer Emes Liyakov, he says that we know that Bereshis is called by the Rishonim Sefer HaYosha, the book of the straight ones, and that Chazal say Masechta Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf Hei Amud Aleph, that the Obas were called Yeshorim, they were absolutely straight. And he says, if they were straight, it seems as though we've got the most crooked person in the Torah. Chmon Olitzlon Yaakov Avinu, he seems to be so crooked. He was this big trickster, and we find even though with Yaakov we're taught it an MS Liyakov, and Yaakov embodies the idea of MS, but in this week's Parshas Vayetze we have the whole inion of the Pitzel Hamaklois Sheosi Yaakov that he did this whole, there were all of these drays, there were all these things that seemed to be complete ramos when he managed to get the sheep from his father-in-law, from Lavan, and he tells Esav Adashe Ovo Eladeni Seira. He says, yeah, I'll come to you to Seira. He says, Yaakov and Shechem. It was Bemirmo that they managed to weaken all of the people in Shechem. So even though Yaakov is the pillar of Emes, that it is, we find his whole life is full of what we would call Sheker. And he explains that we would call that Sheker because we have a warped definition of Sheker. We grow up and we think Emes and Sheker is telling what we'll call the factual truth. He says the factual truth is not in fact the full understanding of the word Emes. V'adai shelef omim mutzu l'odom nishtamish b'derech haromo kadei l'hasig es ha-mavukav. That with the crooked, you're supposed to act crookedly. He says that there are times when a person, in order to preserve the MS, and in order to make sure what they're doing is MS, is actually to depart from what many of us would term the factual truth. And this is MS. This exactly is MS. But we don't have clear a get there. When is it that we're supposed to lie, what we'll call, what most people would call lying, and when is it that we wouldn't? So Rav Dessler, in volume 1, page 94, brings the beginning of a Hagdorah. Nimtza she'emes hu ma she'mevi l'tovah l'rotzon ha'borei. Anything that brings goodness and the will of Hashem in the world, that's called emes. V'sheker hu ma she'nosein ha'tzlocho la'asokov shel sar ha'sheker sitra achro. He says sheker is anything that will cause the negative side to succeed. The other side, the forces of Ra, anything that will enable them to succeed, that is what is called Sheker. So it's not mere factual truth. It's really what will ultimately end up with the right thing, with justice prevailing. This is what's called MS. Anything that will end up with negativity, this is what's called Sheker. He says this is very, very hard, very, very hard for us to be able to know whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing. And he says that's why it's very difficult for a person to do what Yaakov Avinu did, because he says, as long as we have our biases, then it's very, very difficult for us to be able to say, yeah, I think the good will come out of this. Very, very difficult to be able to know when exactly is the right time to do it. There's a sefer, a fantastic sefer, called M.S. Kanei, written by somebody in Yerushalayim, in the Mirakeilo. His name is Rav Yitzchok Silva. He's an alumnus of Hasmonean, grew up in northwest London, and he's written a sefer called M.S. Kanei by Yitzchok Silva, and this whole sefer is the halachas of M.S. V'sheker. And he quotes over there Rav Yerucham of Mir and Rav Volba, and they both say that the benchmark to be able to determine whether something is Sheker is, number one, what is the intention? What is your intention? Are you trying to do something negative over here? Are you trying to get something unjustly? That is the first thing one has to be careful about. What is our intention? The second thing is, what is the outcome? What will happen in the end? In the end, will there be something good or will there be something bad? He said these are the two benchmarks, the intention and the outcome. So what I like to do is to go through lots of different scenarios and lots of different cases in the Gemara where we see these things in action. Now sometimes we'll see that it is permitted, and sometimes we're mechuyev to say something which we wouldn't consider necessarily to be factual truth. Let's have a look at some common cases. Exaggerations. I called you 1,000 times. There are millions and millions of ants over here. So is that considered MS or is that considered Sheker? I called you 1,000 times. So what he says is that exaggerations are not untruths, because this is the norm and it's not intended to mislead. If this is the norm, the societal norm, a lot of this goes by societal norm, if this is the way people speak, and you're not intending, if really you only call somebody once, and you're supposed to call them 100 times, you say, I called you 1,000 times, so really that you're intending to mislead, so that would be inappropriate. But if really you called someone a few times, they weren't there, you say, I called you 1,000 times, since that's a societal norm, that would be okay. So exaggerations are permitted. What about business language? Now business language, there are certain professions where in business you speak a certain way, and in fact people actually tend to expect it. For example, a person is an estate agent and he's showing somebody a house, and he says, well, I have others that are waiting who are also very, very interested. is an estate agent allowed to do such a thing? Or let's say he doesn't have anybody else who's interested, right? Or somebody. So he says it could be if in the society that is the normal way of speaking, and you know and I know that it could be he's got nobody else who's interested. But this is, huh?
The norm to be
cruel. Well, I don't want to say that. If this is the norm in the society, and in each business there are different societal norms over here. If this is the norm, then it could be that such a thing is not considered checker, because posh, this is the societal norm. If a person says this is the lowest we can do. So it could be if everybody says that, if you know exactly when he says this is the lowest thing you do, that you're just about to start the haggling process. So if this is the societal norm, then he says that this is okay. Also, if the intent is understood by the listener, if I'm saying something, but you know what I really mean, so I can answer you in the appropriate way. He says, a question is, you're standing there at the airport, and they say, did you receive anything from anybody? And you know that your great-grandmother has given you an envelope for your auntie. And the chances of there being narcotics in this envelope, there's more chance that you'll be the pilot of the plane than there is that there's anything untoward in this envelope. If you start telling the person there, they're really asking you, tell me, is there any possibility that you've got something which could be used for terrorist purposes? Is there anything that you have which is any illegal substances over there? If you start telling, well, my great auntie gave me this, and it was for my bubba, and my bubba gave me this, and it's for my sister, and I've got something for my brother-in-law, you'll be draining them a cop, and they'll be waiting, they'll be this poor security guard, they'll tug at one to throttle you, and it could be you'll be holding everybody else up. What they're really asking, is there anything possibly over here which could be illegal or which could be negative? He says it could be that they're there, it would be okay to not tell them that exactly which things you have inside you. So you say, no, everything is fine over here, because the intent is understood by the listener. Really, what they're asking you, they don't really care if you got something from your great auntie. If you know that your great auntie is one of our Noshim Tidkonyes, and you know the wool hasn't been pulled over her eyes as well. I can see a number of you don't think your great auntie is there anyway. So if the intent is understood by the listener, then that would be another case where it's okay.
If you're so sure, then you can tell them my great auntie gave me an envelope.
Yeah, you could do 100%, and you could do. It just could be you'll be holding everybody else up. There's just a. Okay, so we all know the Gemara. We all know the Gemara in Masechta Yevamos, Daf Samachay on the base. Va'om Rabbi Eloy Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon Mutzle LaAdam L'Shanes B'Dvar HaShalom. So we're allowed. It is permitted to lie with a matter of Shalom. MS is the bench. Is the Chosim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shalom is also a name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person, says the Maharal, and that's the reason a person is allowed to lie, B'dvar Shalom. And Yosef was told by his brothers, Avichot Tzivar, Kaisomru Yosef, Ono Sono, right, that your father told us that please you should forgive us. Really, he hadn't, but they were worried, worried erroneously whether Yosef would exact vengeance on them, so they said something to shame their father, Bibnei Asholoim, and there are other cases that are brought over here in the Gemara, and then there's another reading over here, Rabbi Nosson Omer Mitzvah, it is actually a mitzvah to lie for the sake of Sholoim. So there are a number of cases where it's permitted to lie because of Shalom. We also find Aaron HaKohen lied because of Shalom in Parshas Chukas, that he told, the officer of Nosson goes into great detail, how he told each one of the waging parties, or the husband, or the wife, how devastated the other one is by the fact there's a machlekes and they're so sorry, and then ultimately everybody came together. So it is Mutar L'Shanes Mibnei HaShalom. So this has a number of ramifications. If I'm lying so as not to offend anybody, that's also included in Mibnei HaShalom. So if someone says, do you have a pen that I could borrow? So you could say, well, Lamais, I'm in a bit of a rush right now. You're not so important to me, and therefore, I don't want to start looking for 5 minutes till I find my pen. Right? You could say that. You're likely to offend them. So, Mutar L'Shanes Mibnei HaShalom, it would be okay to say, I'm sorry, I don't have a pen you could borrow. Are you insured? Can I borrow your car? What sort of insurance do you have? Would you mind if I borrow your car? So, So the fact dilemmas would be, yeah, of course I'm insured. There's no way I'd let you behind the wheel of my car. I've seen the dents on your car. There's no way I'm going to lend you my car. Forget it. So it would be permitted to say, I'm sorry, but I'm just not covered in order to do that, because this is all included in Sholem. My 7-year-old, Kanainara Deveira, she got a present from somebody for her birthday, for her 7th birthday. And she said, Tati, the person asked me, do I like it? What, I don't. What should I say? What should a person do over there? So technically speaking, we'll see a caveat later when it comes to teaching children to say falsehoods, and we'll see later that you're always supposed to try and say it in a way that it's factually MS as well. But if push comes to shove, in order not to offend somebody, it would actually be permitted to say that, you know, this is a beautiful present, this is the nicest thing this is such a beautiful present, thank you so much. Right? So it's not to offend, all these are included in Sholem. Of course, the Gemara says in Ksuvus Yudzayin Omid Aleph, we have Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and the Evan Ezer says in Samach Hei Aleph, the Evan Ezer says, we paskin like Hillel, Tonar Rabbanon Ketan Meragdim Lifnei Akala. Right, so what are you supposed to say? Someone comes, you see they've married, and Oy Vavoy, what a decision they've made, Nebuch. So Beis Hillel says, Oh, Kale Noeva Chasudo, you say, what a fantastic chap you got, unbelievable, what a tremendous, tremendous, such a fine color. Kale Noeva Chasudo, we find that to promote Sholem Bayis, it's okay, just like the Gemara says, in Yevom Samachem with Beis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham, that when Soro said, Fadeni Zokim, when Soro said that Avram is old, that really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yeah, and she said, Vani Zokanti, she said, I'm old, and Rechaim Shmuel Levitt says, like, it's not like there's going to be some huge fallout between Avram and Soro over here, and there'd be things flying, you know, they Tucker were very old, and they had tremendous Sholem Bayis anyway, but still, in order to promote Sholem Bayis even a tiny bit, it was permitted over there to say something which wasn't the whole truth. So too, for all issues of Sholem Bayis, it would be permitted to do that. The Gemara continues in Ksuvus Yud Zayin Omid Aleph, the Beis Hillel say, Mishalokach Mekach Rom and Ashuk, Yishabchenu Be'enov, that a person who buys something and they got a really, really bad deal, so the Gemara says, Yishabchenu Be'enov over here, you say, oh, you got a fantastic, what a fantastic deal. The Mefarshim say over there, if the person could go back to Argos and get their money back, and they could buy it much cheaper down the road, then you should tell them, you've been bad over here, my friend, and you should go to this different place where it's sold much cheaper. Or if the person can get their money back, then you should tell them. But if the person can't, sometimes it happens, a person says they managed to buy something in a sale, they can't get their money back, and they ask, tell me, do you think this is nice? Do you think, this is a nice thing? Then it would be permitted to say, oh, that's a fantastic, fantastic thing that you got over here. If somebody, you know, somebody comes back and they say, do you like my haircut? Do you like my haircut? Or do you like, you know, or someone's already out at a simcha and say, do you like the way that I'm dressed? There's nothing they can do about it right now. Right, if you say, Azah, hedgehog you look like, or whatever, you know, you say, I can't believe what a hair, you paid money for this? You paid money? They should, you know, you should, you maybe be able to make something, you know, an interesting photos, you'd be able to, you know, if you do this, so you might be telling the factual MS, but you're making somebody feel so lousy. So, to prevent an upset, which can't be remedied, this is all included. This is included in Sholem over here, and this is what Beis Hillel is saying over here. Shemishalokach mekachrom nashuk yishabchenu be'enov. Another case where it would be permitted to lie is to cheer people up. Right? If somebody is feeling down, it's actually permitted to say something which is what we'll call factually untrue in order to cheer people up. We find a precedent for this, says Diane Silva, in the Gemara Nedorim, Daf Nun Amud Aleph, where we're speaking about Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva married the daughter of Kalba Savor, Oslo Visnasivo le Besitu, that they got married in the winter. Havagonu Beitivno, and they were so poor all they could afford was to be in a barn. And so things were really quite desperate. Havakomanket le Tivno min Mazaya, you know, there was straw all over the place, he was removing it from her hair. Omar lo ihavi li Ramina, Lech Yerushalayim Dadavo. That if I could afford it, I'd buy you this Yerushalayim Shel Zohov, I'd buy you all these fantastic things. But Amaisa, I don't have two pennies to rub together. And that's why we're in such a matzav. So also Elio Anovi came, Idmu Lahin Ka Anosho, and he came down in the guise of a human, for Kokori Avovo, and he was calling out to the door, Omarlu, Hoveli Purit to the Tivno, has anybody got any straw they could spare for me? The Yildus Itzi, for Leslie, Nidoyim Le'aguno, because my wife has given birth, and I'm also in a barn, and I don't have enough straw, you know, just to be able to make her feel to be able to make her comfortable. So Amon Rabbi Akiva Le'intse. So Rabbi Akiva said to his wife, Chazu Gavra Davila Tivna Le'yisle. Right, you see, there are people even worse off than us. Right, you see, there are people that don't even have straw. We're rich. Look at all this straw we've got over here. Straw all over the place. Unbelievable. Right, there are people outside. Look at this person. Doesn't even have any straw. Never, the guy's so poor. So we see from here there's a precedent that if you're trying to cheer people up, if a person, and Rashi explains over there, that Ovatochim Mishum Keiras Ruach Lohen, he was trying to make them feel better. So sometimes it's appropriate to say, yeah, such a thing happened to me, right? Sometimes you know, someone comes to you and they say, oh, I feel so down, such a thing has happened to me, I'm in such a terrible matzav, and you tell them, you know what, such a thing happened to me once as well, I was also in this terrible matzav, exactly the same thing, but then finally I hung on in there, and then everything came, everything was okay. If you're doing it to cheer people up, then that would also be okay. Another case, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Aleph Omed Aleph, is to save a person from shame, where the Gemara there says that it was in the Shia of Rebbe, and Yosef Rebbe v'kodorish v'yireach reach shum, and he suddenly smelt, there was a smell of garlic. Some people like the smell of garlic. The Rebbe, obviously, this was just the whole shiur. Everybody was wondering where that's this garlic coming from. So Omar Misha Ochal Shum Yetzei. Whoever has eaten the garlic, I'm sorry, Arus. So Omar Rabbi Chia stood up bravely. V'yotzo, and he went out. Omdu Kulon V'yotzo. Everybody got up and stood out. And they all got up and they all walked out. B'shachol Motzer Rabbi Shimon Berebi L'Rabbi Chia. So then the next day, the Magid Shir's son, Rabbi Shimon Berebi, found Rabbi Chia. Omar Le, Atu Shetziyatu L'Abo, you're the one who upset my father. Omar Le, Leitzei Kazeis B'Yisrael Chas V'Shalom, I didn't really eat, yeah? I didn't really eat the garlic, but I was doing it to save other people from shame. I was doing it because the real person there would have been devastatingly embarrassed. So to save a person from shame, that would also be an appropriate reason, Mibnei HaSholom. There are the classic cases, also in Bob Metzia, Kaf Gimel, Omid Beis, where it says that a person is allowed to be Mishani B'diburi with three things. Omer B'yoda, Omer Shmuel, B'ani Tzlas Mili, Avidi Rabbona, the Mishani B'milayu, B'mesechta, B'puriyo, U'v'ishbiza. Rashi says, B'mesechta, if a person comes to ask you, do you know a certain Mesechta, and he wants to be humble over here, even though he knows it, it's a Midas Anovo, he's allowed to say no. B'puriyo, Machloikas Rashi Tosfos over here, with all of these things. So Rashi says, if a person is asked questions of an intimate nature, so then, because of Tznius, it's appropriate to say something which is factually untrue. And also, Ishbiza, when it comes to matters of hospitality, if there are lots of people who've come who are looking for a place to eat, and they say, what's it like by so-and-so? And you say, oh, it's fantastic food there. That's the truth. All of a sudden, I have a hundred guests. So a person would be allowed to say things that are factually incorrect for these reasons. You see over here, when it comes to the hospitality, that in order to save a person from a loss, it would be appropriate to say something which is factually incorrect. In these parashas, in Ikesh Tispatol, we find if you're trying to outsmart a dangerous or a deceptive person, like Yaakov Avinu did again and again, then it's also appropriate to lie. Another case, people ask me every now and again, you go to someone's house and you're concerned about the kashrus. People that are newly observant, they go somewhere, they're concerned about the kashrus, and they say, someone offers them a piece of cake. And the maisa, they don't know whether it's kosher, or they don't want to have the cake. Are they allowed to say, I'm sorry, I'm on a diet right now, I'm sorry, I don't like this sort of cake? Are you allowed to say factual untruths in order to try and prevent oneself from a possible transgression? So the precedent which is brought is in Kedushin Pe'alef HaMadalef, where the great Rav Amram feels he's about to be over an Aveira, and he goes, Nura Bey Amram, there's a fire in the house of Amram. And suddenly everybody comes, all the fire brigade come, everybody comes, because they think there's a fire over there, and in that way he manages to save himself in the final hour from being overcome by his Yitzhorah. So you see from that, there was no fire over there. There was the fire of the Yitzhorah, but there was an actual physical fire, which is what he was misleading people with. So you see that in order to prevent an Aveira, it will be permitted to say a mistruth, and this comes up again and again. Okay, what about trying to get out of a parking ticket? Yep. A person has a parking ticket, and these chevra are busy, going down Golders Green Road, and you didn't pay for a ticket. So are you allowed to get out of that parking ticket? So says Diane Silva, if a person is chapped by the authorities, for example, a person, he did something that he shouldn't have done when it came to driving, it's forbidden, it's completely forbidden to say a lie to get out of it. Because there's a din of the malchusa over here. And because there's a din of the malchusa, now often they give it to you taka falsely. Baruch Hashem, I just managed to get out of the last one, which was given to me completely falsely, and I have another one pending. These are moments, I promise you, these are all completely, completely MS. All of a sudden, there must have been some zoris over here. It's working very, very hard against the Tugendhafts. But mamish, some real, real cases where we're fighting them, but only fighting them with MS. And Baruch Hashem, we got out of the last one by saying that the absolute truth. Dinner the Balchus dinner. You shouldn't have parked there, or you should have spent the 20p and not be such a cheapskate. And you should have made sure that you had a parking ticket. If a person is mechuyev al-pi the chukei al-medina, they're supposed to pay it. So what possible justification is there not to pay it? So if these are the chukei, the chukei atanua. Okay, we've got a few caveats. A person is not allowed to lie about Torah matters. If somebody asks you what's the halacha, or if somebody, someone wants to know a psak, and you tell them something which is false, there's a famous Yamshul Shlema in Baba Kama, Dalates, the whole machloikas over there, about whether it's Yorik Valiava or not, but a person would not be allowed to lie concerning something about Torah. And the Gemara says in Shavuos, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, from Midva Sheket Tirchok, one is never allowed to lie in front of a Beis Din. If it's in front of a Beis Din, or it's something where a person will be taking, in front of a Pesuk, there's a Din Torah, then a person is not allowed to. Now, if it is, whenever another caveat, a person is certainly not allowed to mislead others if it's going to be to their detriment. For example, calling themselves doctor something, giving themselves false titles in order to mislead people. Now, whenever possible, whenever one is allowed to say something which is factually incorrect, one has to try and use the words that are factually as correct as possible. As we find with Yaakov, he says, Onoichi Esof Bechayrecha. Right? He says, Onoichi Esof Bechayrecha. There's an amazing maral in Chafsai and Ches over here in the Gur Aryeh, where he says, why is it at first he uses the word Onoichi, and then afterwards he says Oni, and Esof says Ani Esof Bechayrecha. Right? So what's this whole difference between Onoichi and between Oni? So the maral says, it's also in other Mefarshei Chumash as well, that he says fantastic, fantastic thing. He says, because if you have the word ani, he couldn't have said ani esof b'chayrecha. Because if you're saying the word ani connected to another word, then it's a chataf patach. If you're saying the word ani independently, it's with a comets. So if you would have said oni esof b'chayrecha, then Yitzhak would have worked it out. If he would have said ani esof b'chayrecha, it would have had to have been with a chataf patach, and Yitzhak would have known. He didn't want to lie, so he said onoichi. Onoichi, it doesn't matter whether it's connected to a word or whether it's not connected to a word. So in order to be absolutely as factually correct as possible, he said the word ani. He said the word onoichi. Another caveat, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, basing himself on a Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Zayin Omad Aleph, says it's definitely a midas chasidus to try never to lie at all. Right, unless it's a case where you're mechuyev to lie, unless it's a case where mamish, you know, mibnei asholim, there's a chuyev to. But wherever possible, not to lie at all. The Gemara there says a person went to a place called Kushto, and there's a whole sugya over there where people, nobody died before their time because nobody spoke something which is untrue. Finally, one final point, with all of these drays and all of these cases where a person is allowed factually to lie because this is going to be ultimately bringing the MS, we mustn't do it habitually. There's a Gemara in Yevomus, Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, where Reb Chiya told where Rav, every time he asked his wife for one thing, she'd give him another thing. So his son Reb Chiya said, "You know what? You want lentils. If I ask her for peas, she'll give you lentils. If you want lentils, I'll ask her for peas and she'll give you lentils because my mother, your wife, she always mixes everything up anyway. So if I can lie to her, and therefore you'll be able to get what you're supposed to get." But Rav told his son, "You're not allowed to do this because limdu l'shoinom daber sheker the poskin yirmiyo tes." If you're teaching your kid to lie, even with all of these things, if you're teaching your kid to lie, terrible things will happen. And finally, I was listening to some boys who were talking just 2 weeks ago, and these boys were schmoozing to each other. And one said, "Yeah, you know, my father, whenever he gets a parking ticket, he's got a whole file on his computer of different letters. And he uses all these different letters, depending on exactly how he got it, and he manages to get out of all of these parking tickets." And this boy was mummy showing off how his father's a liar. He was showing off. If I would ask you, would you be, I'll pay you £30 and you'll be over in Aveiro. Midorais or Midraboron, nobody would be over in Aveiro for £30. But suddenly, for parking tickets, people feel, yeah, that for £30 they're willing to, not only to some people, right, not to lie, but even their kids grow up and they think it's mummish, completely, absolutely fine to lie. This would be a terrible thing. So it says, even though a person is allowed to do all these things, not habitually. Because Shabbat should help us, we should always have the seichel to know exactly what's the appropriate thing to do.